Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Come on, stand up. Praise God. I'm so glad for the Richards being home with us. We go back a long, long, long ways. I remember I thought Randy would never get married, and then Chris came along, and that was the end of that. But we're just so thankful that they're here today. Today we're going to go into the Word of God, and I believe we're going to be challenged in the Word for a couple of reasons. Because this is one of those scriptures that Jesus says something, uses a word he doesn't normally use. And so we're going to go into the text. We're going to find our text in Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. And you'll find the responding verses on the screen behind me. Then he said to his disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come." Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And which of you, having a servant, plowing or tending sheep, will say to him, when he has come in from the field, "Come at once and sit down to eat"? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. Verse 10 together. So likewise, when you have done all the things which you are commanded, say, "Profitable servants, we have done with our duty." Let's pray. Father, today we're going to learn some stuff today, and it's going to be tough. Because, Lord, for one of the first times that I've noticed in the Bible, you use the word impossible. And when you say impossible, we got to take note of it, because we know that there's something that you want to do in us that isn't easily done. And so, Lord, I pray that through your word today that we would find ourselves in a place of that if we live in a society that's just overwhelmed with a number of things, but, Lord, when we want to be your servants. We want to be the people that would bear your name with honor and with integrity. And so, Holy Spirit, today, be our teacher, and we'll give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody before you sit down, look them in the eye and tell them this: it may be impossible, but God's going to do it through me. You may be seated. So I got your buy-in, and you don't know what you bought into quite yet. I have kind of a long introduction. I had to write this out because I didn't want to forget some things. And I must admit, part of this I borrowed from some language I heard on a different expression, but I think it'll help you get a perspective on what we want to accomplish. First of all, when you hear the words of Jesus, including the word impossible, I believe it's worth taking note of something that should be keenly aware of that can affect us in our desire to be one of his faithful followers. If we look over the history of America in the last 50 years, civil rights, women's rights, equal rights, gay rights, gender equality, animal rights, and the list grows and grows, and we will discover that each one of these issues is centered around an offense. We hold true these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I believe that. Maybe the foundational words of the Declaration of Independence of the United States, but the interpretation of the same is being defined, redefined, and undermined by those who have who have an interpretation along with an agenda that would attempt to persuade you of their offense and their marginalization you have perpetrated against them, them not receiving or recognition rights due them by failing to recognize the offense. How about this? Vegans may want to ban such phrases like bringing home the bacon and exchange it to bringing home the broccoli. PETA might say this, may want you to eliminate the phrase like beating a horse to death or killing two birds with one stone with something like less offensive, like feeding a fed horse, or you can feed two birds with a scone. Because we don't want to offend anybody. Here's my point I want to get to. Number one, if you were to rate yourself on a level between 1 and 10, 1 being low, 10 being high, what would be the level of your general tolerance toward being offended? Oh, it gets better. Number two, do you find yourself dealing with offenses more from believers or non-believers? Number three, have you developed a level of tolerance or forgiveness toward people who have offended you? It's amazing that we can get offended. But when Jesus uses the word, it's impossible, you better take note. Because I can guarantee you, 75% of the people sitting in this room right now are holding an offense against somebody. And until they apologize and until they do certain things, you won't let go. My goal is by the end of this service, you'll be ready to let it go. That's a big ask. It's a big challenge. But I believe if we're going to get out of the impossible realm, what's impossible for us is totally available if we do it through Jesus. Well, be aware of the potential of your behavior to trigger an offense. How about that? Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 8. Here we go. I receive one who's weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. For one believes that you may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge the one who eats, for God has received him. Moving on to the next verses, please. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. A few more verses. Here we go. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. He who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats to the Lord. For he who gives thanks, he who does not eat to the Lord, does not eat or gives thanks, give God thanks. We have one more verse here, or two more verses. For none of us lives to himself. No one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, if we live or we die, we are the Lord's. Can somebody say amen? Amen. I got a word for you. Get over it. But wait a minute. Don't be so harsh. I remember an announcement my youngest daughter made to us. I think she was about 15 or 16. My wife can remember what it was, 15 or 16. She decided, stop the violence. Stop the violence. I'm not eating meat anymore. I said, what? I said, she'll be back. She want a hamburger. She wants some bacon and eggs at some point. That girl has never turned around. She is now almost 40 years old, and that girl left it all behind. I said, how can she survive? My poor baby. But she was serious. And we said, and my wife, we're kind of convinced, oh, this is kind of a passing thing, you know. Some of her friends convinced her in this particular thing. And then it was a vegetarian. It was, you know, broccoli and beets and all that other type of stuff. And then a little bit of dairy, a little bit of this. But then when she announced several years after that, she's vegan, I said, oh, she's gone over the edge. She's sailing on uncharted waters. But my thought process didn't include some things. Let's look at this. Our first priority is to find reasons to receive people rather than to exclude them. And some of us are pretty good that as long as you fit into my little category of folks, or the way you do things, or the way you say things, you are welcome to be a part of my life. But as soon as you kind of deviate from that, we put the people on the outside very easily. It's very easy to compartmentalize folks. And some of you have a whole group of folks that you have to kind of say, oh, no, we can't invite them. Don't invite them because, you know, they don't do this. And I'm thinking, that's too nerve-wracking. But somehow, that word impossible comes up. It's very easy to exclude people who do not measure up to the level of our spiritual maturity. And many times, we have the audacity to put the spiritual maturity level or measure into the equation. And I want to let you know, somehow Romans disagrees with you. Somehow your little formalization toward things won't last. Because I'll tell you what, if you're stuck on an island someplace and there's nothing to eat but bugs around there, and say, oh, I don't eat meat. Honey, you can find that bug. That bird that just flew overhead, you will get a rock, knocks him down, and you're gonna have me some meat. It's amazing how necessity is the mother to invention. But the Bible is clear that we keep believers from having fellowship. It's clear on things that we will keep believers from having fellowship with one another. And what about this? There is a great deal of room for preference and choices that do not result in sinful exclusion from fellowship. Preferences, choices. God does give us choices. So many religions and different things have happened throughout the years. One of the reasons why they started the Methodist Church is because one particular group decided that it was a sin to have coffee after church. The other group says, we're going to have coffee. Well, we're going to start a new denomination. We're going to be the anti-coffee people. And that's one of the divisions that they split up over coffee. Now, us, we have coffee and cookies and tea. And today we have vegetarian type fare. For those of you who can't handle that we're just, no more cookies. We heard you. You leave me alone while I'm having my cookie. You can have all of the carrot sticks you want. Leave me alone. Homie, don't do that. But we should not let our dietary choices affect our fellowship with others. Conviction of the spirit and condemnation of the flesh are not compatible entities. That means when we are not deputized to license or unlicense behavior of believers by our system of beliefs and preferences. The Bible's very clear about the things that thou shalt not do. But unfortunately, some of us get caught in the old covenant of thou shalt da 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 da, and we are caught in the net wave of thou shalt not, but you sure wish you could. Attempting to change someone's mind to conform to our way of thinking is not our job. What about this? The Holy Spirit is a master of bringing about conviction and drawing believers closer to Jesus. Conviction of the Holy Spirit is guaranteed. Matter of fact, Jesus, before he left, he says, I'm going to send you another comforter. But along with the comforter's assignment was the fact to bring about conviction. And conviction is, and condemnation are not even close to each other. Conviction brings you to a resolution that you're saying to yourself, you know what? If I continue in this type of behavior, it will drive people away from Jesus, not to Jesus. I need to stop. You say, what? Don't you see the sin factor? No, it's more than just the sin factor. People can do all kinds of different things, and it doesn't bother them. But the most important thing is, what are the things that you are doing that will keep people from finding Jesus? Hello? You need to stop. Well, everything we should do is motivated by thanks and gratitude to the Lord. Freedom in Christ is not a license for behavior that contradicts sound wisdom. Now, I think that God gave you a brain. Most of you? Those of you that are lacking, we can help you. But no, sound wisdom. There's some things that we do that really are stupid. They have no reference in reality. But still, we just do them. Well, that's the way we always did it in my family. Well, that's nice. But freedom should, our love for the Lord and one another should cause us to make choices that will cause us to sacrifice our rights of choice. Wow. I choose not to do this because I love you more than my choice or preference. Some say, well, I'm not going to let anybody govern my behavior. They're just going to have to get over it. Really? Can you show me the love in that? You know, there are several things that are earmarks I put in my life that I would never, ever allow you to put in yours just because I do it. And something I won't even tell you about because it's not even necessary. But the thing about it is, it has nothing to do with so much right or wrong. It's a fact that a preference that I believe is the best for me, and I'm going to do it. You know, and so let's our licensing behavior, it's really interesting. But we must never live as though we are an island unto ourselves with no connection to the main continent of the kingdom of God. Because some of you are floating out there on your island of preference, and nobody can get near you or come to you. Our emotions and choices must constantly be subjected to the Holy Spirit. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. This is going to be a good place for us to go. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let me just stop at that one verse. If there's no joy in your relationship with Jesus, there's something wrong. When you come to the house of God, you got to be on your best behavior. You just got to get yourself all tied up. God is in his holy temple. Let us all, the earth keep silence before him. Let's worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And you feel like you're in a spiritual straitjacket when you come here. Good Lord, stay home. I mean, come on. The joy of the Lord is our strength, but it's also our liberation to be an expression of who Jesus is. And so as we rejoice in the Lord always, again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Going to the next few verses, it says this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Hold on to that for just a moment. It says this. Anxiety is one of the things that can happen. And I don't believe anyone should either come through these doors and remain in a state of anxiety or anxious. But once we're in the house of the Lord, everything that you need is here. All the freedom you need is here. All the joy you need is here. All the forgiveness you need is here. Everything you need is here. And so you should come to the gates with thanksgiving. He says, and let your request be made known to the Lord. And watch this. And the peace of God will surpass all understanding and will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace is something that we all want. And you know, isn't it interesting? I've had people say this, and I'll just say it. I've had people come to my house and say, this house is so peaceful. Well, it's not my color scheme. That's not it. It's not all the flowers and stuff out there, which I do not touch, otherwise you'd be dead. But there's something about the atmosphere that's been set forth by the Lord Jesus. Peace is something that is contagious once it comes to you. And it can be felt, it can be apprehended. It's something that Jesus left with us that we can give to others by allowing his peace to reside in us. But it won't happen if we allow the things of offenses to come in. I haven't talked about them much yet, but we'll get to some of those things in a moment. When we rejoice in the Lord, we are subjecting ourselves to things that are going, are going well or not going well as an indicator as whether or not we should be offended. What about this? We must allow the peace of the Lord to guard our hearts from offenses. Now we're going to get into this a little bit. This is something I'm going to share with you that will help. I'm put it right in the middle of my sermon so you hopefully will not forget it. Because some of you by the end, you may be sleeping. I want to get you now while you're fresh. When we hear something that has the potential of offending us, we have 3 to 5 seconds to turn it over to the Holy Spirit to evoke a godly response. I'm going to say it again. When we hear something that is offensive to us, to our hearing, we have 3 to 5 seconds to turn it over to the Holy Spirit and let him deal with it. What? That means when someone says something to us that is offensive to us, rather than us blowing up and detonating or whatever, we can process that in the Holy Spirit, and God will give us the right thing to say without becoming offended. Huh? Well, let's look at this for a moment. When someone sends you the wrong text you weren't supposed to get, you have a decision to make. You know it was meant for somebody else, but somehow they clicked the wrong button. It came to your, it dropped in your email box. Oh, the nerve of her, I can't wait. I'll snatch her hair. I'm going to slap her into next week. It ain't but Tuesday, you know? Oh, yeah. You have a decision to make at that point. Especially when you know they wasn't going to send that to you or were going to somebody else, but somehow they hit the wrong person. But here's how the enemy works. He says, your defenses come up. You defend yourself saying, I don't deserve that type of behavior. And you begin to launch an attack of how you're going to respond and how you're going to get even with what that situation is. Question, did Jesus ever do that? Did people ever say anything to Jesus that was offensive? I didn't take down any Bible verses that said that, but believe me, there's plenty. And they didn't send it by email, they got it in his face. That's who you are. What was his response? Let me go a little bit deeper with this. When you overheard something you weren't supposed to, you must choose the road not to be offended. See, they thought you had already hung up the phone. She think I'm going to do that. She got another thing coming. I ain't no way I'm going to do that for her. Heifer ain't going to get nothing out of me. Mm-mm. And you use the word heifer. Yes, she did. And she heard all of it. You got 3 to 5 seconds to let the Holy Spirit deal with that. You said, man, I don't want to hear no more of this message. I'm out of here. But you won't leave now because we know why you left. What will happen in that 3 to 5 seconds? The Holy Spirit's response will come to you. It's more than forgiveness, but it's processing at that particular point. Is it, if I had never heard this, would my relationship with this person be different? Well, yeah. If you only knew half the things you haven't heard about people that they've said about you, you wouldn't have any friends. Oh, you think you got, oh, I got my posse, I got my partners. No, you don't. No, you don't. You're delusional. Because you have said something or done something, and they may not have said it to your face, but they have said something about you that if you knew, you would never, ever talk to them again. Let me go a little bit deeper, because you folks are wounded now. Let me finish the job. Okay. You must choose to allow the peace of God to guard your heart and mind against things that would cause you to be offended. The question is, will you do that? And you say, Pastor, it's hard. Question. Have you ever said something to someone that you wish you never said? But in an emotional response, you went ahead and said, oh my goodness, what was I thinking? I was just angry. I was just frustrated. I don't really mean that. I really love them. They're a very valuable person. But it's out there. Are you willing to spend the rest of your life to try to convince them that's really not how you feel? Oh, this is a message you wish you had stayed home for. This is just part one, so hey. Decide today that you will not be a carrier or a keeper of offenses. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a royal priesthood, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, go on to the next verse, please. Behold, I lay in Zion the chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. A few more verses and we'll be done. And a stone of stumbling block, a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, and to which they also were appointed. In the last little portion. But you are a chosen generation. Stop right there. Every one of you who believe in Jesus are chosen to subscribe to another code of conduct. What? You can't act like them. You can't respond like them. I mean, you just can't pull off your earrings Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. Adjust your weave or whatever you got on your head. Okay, it's on. It's on, sister. Come on, bring it to me. I know those of you with lighter hue don't understand that. Well, you got other ways of doing it. But we're his special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now watch this. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I want you to apply something right now. Mercy to triumph over your judgment. Ever needed mercy? Or something stupid that you did? A bill you forgot to pay on time, they want to put all this other things. Oh, please, I just forgot. Can you give me mercy this one time? Mercy isn't something you deserve. Mercy is something you need. And I believe if there's one thing that God wants to do, he wants to show you how to appropriate mercy for yourself, but also for other people. We have become a very unmerciful group of folks, and we want justice at any cost. And it doesn't work that way. The Bible says mercy triumphs over judgment. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you haven't needed it yet, you will. But what's he trying to tell us here? Your living stone has been chosen of God, precious in the eyes of the Lord. Our identity is in Christ. When we truly identify with Christ, we must be willing to suffer some of the same rejection that he suffered. You know, I didn't go through all the different things that Jesus was called, but I would seriously say, I don't think anything that you've ever been called, Jesus hasn't been called. So if he can say that you need to, you know, have this Spirit of God within you, I think he's a pretty good authority as far as it's concerned. One of the strongest motives of offenses is to impart shame on individuals, causing them to feel that they are offensive and do not measure up. Who gave you permission to set the standard? Why do you give out standards to other people that you yourself don't even keep? This is a tough message. I know it is. But it's the only way that Jesus would have to say this word. It's impossible not to be troubled by offenses. We all have been. But I'm going to show you the way out in the next 15 minutes. You say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Because some of you are stuck. Well, when we identify with Jesus being a stumbling block of offense in the world, we inherit his identity of being chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. In other words, we have been called out of darkness of offense to the light of truth. There's a darkness that comes over my spirit. I'm sure it comes over yours. When someone says something that offends me, well, that's offensive. It's beyond hurt. It's just like, we have to figure out, why would you say that? That's what you really believe about me? I've fallen to that level in your eyes? It's beyond pain. But the only way we know how to respond many times is to retaliate or to throw something back is to try to deflect that off of us. Let me help you with this because here's how it goes. Our identity in Christ is among those chosen to bear his name in truth and honor, and we become agents of mercy to those who have suffered under the offenses. Let me tell you where they come from. The enemy. The devil is the chief of offenses. Anything he can do or say or manipulate that will cause you to stumble or will cause you not to believe in Jesus as being your defense, he'll do it. Well, as leaders, we decide to decide how to righteously respond when offenses come our way. That means we must rely on the Holy Spirit to keep us from becoming a person through which offenses come. Let's start with you, first of all. How do I become a person who doesn't go around offending people? You say, well, how do I do that? Love can be so channeled into us to a degree that before we say something or before we do something, it's filtered through the love of Jesus Christ that we'll automatically do as Jesus would do, and it will not end up in something offensive. But we take the risk of saying, well, everybody likes this. Really? No, they don't. And so this is another thing that we must guard ourselves. We must guard the things we say and do, but we must be careful not to pass on information that has not been or cannot be verified by two witnesses. You know how we get offended? Passing along things we don't know whether it's true or not. I heard they are saying, who are they anyway? You know, I'd like to find out where they live. And I'm going to burn down their house. Well, that's what they're saying. That's what I heard. Oh, my goodness. And we quote stuff like everything that's on the internet. It's totally true. Oh, I saw it on the internet. I heard it on CNN. God bless your soul. And you people quote it like it's gospel. It's just not. And what's your intent for quoting it in the first place? Some of us quote information because we want to feel like we're really knowledgeable, and you're not. You're an idiot. I'm sorry. See how you offended. Oh, he just said I'm an idiot. I ain't going to no more. And he also said, go ahead. Get stuck on stupid. I don't care. If there is an offense and you did it, own it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Leave that up there for a moment. Be kind to one another. And somehow, kindness, I don't know what happened, it's kind of escaped us. But sometimes we get so enmeshed in situations that we forget about kindness and tenderheartedness, and that part he's inserted in there is forgiving one another. Let's look at this. Number one, don't make excuses for bad behavior. Can I get an amen? Amen. Well, you know, I had a rough day today, just so you have to excuse the way I'm acting. Honey, do something. Take a pill, whatever you do. But stop using excuses for being mean. Well, if I was really myself, I wouldn't have said this. Then you need to not be whoever you are. That's not an excuse. Or actually, it is an excuse, but it's not a reason for us to behave like that. How about this? You cannot be an accurate judge as to whether or not something should be, You cannot be an accurate judge as to whether or not someone should be offended by your actions. You shouldn't be offended over that. You know I was just playing. Really? That's your excuse if they react. But if they don't react, then you got to nail one on them. That's crazy. How about this one? Kindness and tenderheartedness will ward off offenses. We must be willing to maturely look at things that will prevent us from being a follower of Jesus like that we should be. And here's something to take note of. Number one, we must be willing to objectively look at the offenses of what really happened without attaching our interpretation to someone's true motives or intent. I know why you did that to me. I know why you said that. I know why you forgot that. You just wanted to make me upset. Why do you say things like that? You don't know. You don't get to vote on this one. But how many people have someone in their life that is chronically late? Don't you raise your hand. No matter how you know, they're always, always, always late. And you are silly enough to believe that this time they're going to be on time. But they're always late. And then they come rolling in 10, 15, 20 minutes after, half an hour later, and you are hotter than fish grease, and you are ready to baptize them. And the thing about it is, it's an offense that carries on. And then this person gets labeled in your, you don't have Rolodexes anymore, but they're labeled. And call me unreliable, you know. It's important when we become offended that we must take ownership of our reaction. If you hadn't have done this, I wouldn't have done that. Really. Stop justifying your aberrant behavior. It's not going to change him, but it'll change you. And to be a person, and I don't like to use terms like not safe. It'll change you into a person that you really don't want to be. You'll formulate a reputation that you really don't want to have. But what about this? To be offended is a decision that is often fueled more by emotion than intent. Your emotions just get out of control. And you say things. I mean, you hang up the phone, you slam the door, you run away. I know you folks don't like to hear this, so you cuss them out. Christians do that? Oh, honey, yes, they do. You find out how saved you really are. So you have to reach back, and some of you don't have to reach back far. They're right here. Why do you keep access to those things so close at hand? I want to go back to the beginning. I'm just about done. When Jesus said, it's impossible I'll state it to you this way. Offenses are inevitable. They're going to happen. That 3 to 5 second window that you have to rely on the Holy Spirit to give you the answer to respond will be the salvation for you and for them. You say, well, how do I activate that? Ask the Lord, saying, Lord, you know, I'm a person like anybody else. But the next time I hear something offensive, this type of thing, I want you to put something in your word to counteract this offense. And even if it's a scripture that says, in everything, give thanks. You say, Lord, I can thank you today. This is a day that you made, and I will rejoice in it. I'm not going to be mad in it. And it's amazing how that will diffuse what's going on. Well, when is being offended too much? This is my last little point here. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. This will help you. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Now hold on right there. He says, I'm cool. You got 7 chances. After that, you is mine. And here's the Lord. He comes out and he says, huh? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Jesus is doing the new math. Why did he say that? Because if we could get a number out of the Lord that after this we don't have to do it anymore, we would be just thrilled. But let me give you these parting thoughts. Worship team, make your way up here because I'm just about done. Number one, walk in the spirit of forgiveness. To err is human. To forgive is divine. You are as much like Christ as you are as you forgive like he does. Want to be like Jesus? Forgive like he did. Wait a minute. I want to be like Jesus, but the forgiveness thing? I'm not so sure about that. No. Corrie ten Boom said this. The hornet of memory may fly again, but forgiveness removes its sting. You may remember the last time they did this or last time somebody said this to you, but if you really truly forgave, the sting of that situation is gone forever. Wow. So that's one thing you can do to be delivered. Second thing is this. Choose not to be offended. Say, oh, come on now. Where'd you get that from? Choose not to be offended. I got every right to be offended. As a matter of fact, I'm keeping score. Several weeks ago, I had a lunch with a former elder here at New Song. The Lord led him to a different church probably 10 years ago. And he said something to me I didn't really recognize. But then again, I guess it's a decision that I made that hopefully the Lord has been working through me. I know that many people leave the ministry after 10, 15, 20 years. And the number one reason why is over offenses. How they were treated, how people did things to them, and whether financed, whatever it happens to be. But the Lord helped me, and you people have helped me, even by your encouraging words, is to make the choice not to be offended. Even though it was something I need to repent of, I won't hold that as an offense against you for you telling me I need to get my life together. I choose not to be offended. That's the reason how I've been able to stay in ministry for 54 years. I'd been gone a long time ago. The devil would have ran me out of town. Because if that's the way they're going to treat me, I'm out of here. Whatever. Playing the devil's hand. Last thing I'm going to say to you, let the Holy Spirit be your defense attorney. You're no good at it. Being offended is no good excuse for unforgiveness. And I want to leave that with you as something for you to work with. To be offended is no excuse for unforgiveness. Everyone bow your heads with me, please. This is kind of part one installment. Next week I'm going to give a teaching that Jesus did where Jesus was the offender. He offended this woman to the point where you and I both would have said, forget it, Jesus. I ain't thinking about you. And Jesus really did offend a lady. But we're going to find out the end result of that story. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, I am here today with my brothers and sisters, and some of them have got themselves caught in a situation where they've made a decision not to forgive certain people for things that they've done. And because of that, that offense is holding them hostage, away from the fact of having true fellowship with you. Lord, I pray for every person that's here today that is still holding on to something their mama said, their daddy said, a teacher said, a friend said, someone on the street said, a boss said, their children said, that's held them hostage to that vision that they have where they've said, I'll never, ever forgive them. I'd rather go the rest of my life. And some people, they've even said, I'd rather go to hell than let go of that offense. Lord, I'm talking about hurt. I'm talking to hurt people today. I'm talking to people who could justify that if that was done to someone else, they say, I don't blame you for being that way. That was a lot for you to shoulder. I'm going to pray, and the altar call is going to be different today. You're not going to come down front. You say, what? But you're going to stand where you are, and Jesus is going to do something that you've wanted to have done for years. He's going to give you the power, the grace, and the love to forgive and to let go of that offense forever. Let me listen to my prayer. Then at the end of this prayer, I'm going to give you a chance to stand. They're going to sing a chorus of a song we've already sung, and I want you to sing it with us because it's going to be important for you to really let this thing go and allow God to do something. Some of you will be standing today of having walked away from Jesus because someone offended you, or never come to Jesus because Christians have offended you. But I believe that God is going to do something miraculous when you stand today. Just remain in your seat for the moment, then I'm going to pray. Jesus, there are men and women here today that are living under the oppression. They're living under the cloud. They're living under the weight of offenses. A mom that was never there for them, a dad that abandoned them when they were a child, a dad they never met. Siblings where there was this rivalry to the point they were glad when they left home. A boss who treated them unfairly and terminated them without a cause. A teacher that never gave them an opportunity to learn like they needed to learn. A husband, a wife, who cheated on them that they weren't good enough. And they told themselves, I'll never forgive them. And right now in their life, the oppression and the hurt and the indifference is in them right now. Lord, while they're sitting, they can make the decision. When they stand, it'll be a sign that they've let go. And Lord, that's going to be our symbolism to you today, that Lord, while we're sitting here with our hands folded, with our eyes shut, we're saying, God, your business on the cross is good enough for my sins, and I dare not hold on to any type of offense toward anybody. And so with that, I want to let go. If that's how you feel, remember, I don't want you to come down front. I want you to just stand today and say, you know, I'm ready to let go, Pastor, and that's what I'm going to do. If that's you, stand to your feet right now. Stand up. Say, I'm letting go today. I'm letting go. I'm done. I am done. Stand up. Don't wait for somebody else. If it's you, stand up.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.